for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
It's real to real. It's 4 weeks where we put on our God goggles and we see some powerful biblical truths in Hollywood movies. It's the last week and it's Hacksaw Ridge. Now, I've been warning you as the weeks have gone by that Hacksaw Ridge, it's a war movie. And it's a little violent, right? And there's some nasty things going on. And you all need to say thank you right now. I accidentally gave Tim the wrong numbers. And I was in here yesterday going over things. And there was a scene that had a naked man and about 20 cuss words that was supposed to be on the screen, unbeknownst to us. Whoo! You're welcome for double-checking my work. That's not there, but the last couple clips, they are a little intense, and I just want to give you a little heads up right now that if that thing kind of bugs you, well, maybe you do need to head to the coffee shop for the day, because we don't want to, you know, push anyone's buttons in the wrong way. It's a powerful movie, and if you have your God goggles on, you will see some powerful truths of all kinds therein. We pick up the story. The young man, who's kind of the hero of the whole story, he finds himself cleaning church windows while all of his buddies and his brother have gone off to war. It's set in World War II. And he's wondering to himself, what can I do to help the world? See, he's in a little bit of a situation because unlike most red-blooded American males, he don't like guns. And he actually finds himself a pacifist. And he doesn't want to touch any guns and he doesn't want to take anybody's life. But in war, that's what guys do. And as his buddies were running off all gung-ho, he's like, I don't want to do that, but I want to help. And he's just... he doesn't know his place in life. And I'm wondering if I'm talking to anybody today who finds themselves in a similar situation where you feel just a little different, a little bit odd. You see people going this way and you're like, I want to help, but that's not me. I just don't know. Does that describe anybody in the room? Anybody just not quite sure where you're at? Thank you for being honest, you three people. And so let's pick it up. He's cleaning windows, wondering what he's supposed to do. And in this clip, we see the beginning of his purpose rise to the surface. Now, this screen hasn't been working, so if you can't see it over there, just do your best to see over there. You're allowed to move. Watch this. See, what we see in the movie is he knew the first part of what we say here, if you got a pulse. But he didn't know the second part because he couldn't discover his place. He didn't realize that if you have a pulse, you also. But right here, in a world where everybody's taken lives left and right in the war, he began to realize that maybe he could be someone who doesn't take life, but saves life. Now, here's the deal that I want you to get right there. He began to discover his thing. I want you to turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger, leave your driving finger in your pocket, point to your neighbor and say, there's a thing for you. Now, I want you to say with a little more conviction, because some people don't think there is a thing for them. I want you to say with conviction, there's a thing for you. See, Jesus would say this, or the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah would say it this way. God says through Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There's a thing that God has in store for you. And I know there are people in this room, young and old alike, who don't quite know what their purpose in life is. But I'm telling you, there's a moment coming where you're like, huh, I wonder if that's my thing. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, there's a thing a-coming for you. So let me ask it this way. What's that thing that you've always wanted to do? Right? In the back of your mind, you've always said, man, I would like to do. But you haven't done it because life gets busy, right? You know, the kids come around, they take a lot of time, which is great and awesome. And then next thing you know, they're off to college and you're like 20 years from your schooling and you're like, what am I doing? Or maybe you find yourself in the midst of your schooling and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I hate class. Is that right? Anybody? Yeah. Or maybe you're a teacher and you're like, I still hate class. See, I'm telling you that God has a plan for everybody in this room, and it's plans not to harm you, but to prosper, to give you hope and a future. You have issues because you have a pulse, to be sure, but I'm telling you, because you have a pulse, you have a purpose. So what is it? I remember listening to a speaker one time. He was talking to this older woman who was in her 80s, and she said, you know, I always wanted to be a teacher. And he asked her, well, what did you want? What did you end up doing? Well, you know, I didn't become a teacher. I did other things. But I always wanted to be a teacher. And the speaker said, he said, you know, I told that woman, no, you didn't. And she's like, yeah, I did. I wanted to be a teacher. No, you didn't. I'm kind of thinking this guy's a jerk, right? He's fighting with old ladies, right? But he went on to say, if you really want that thing, it might be God's plan for your purpose in your life, but you might have to work a little bit to get to it. And if you don't get to that thing you've always wanted, well, you didn't really want it, because if you really wanted it, you would have done the work to get to it. Desmond, in our story, had to go to medic school, medic training, go through all kinds of troubles and pain to get to a place where he could fulfill his purpose. So I'm wondering, that thing that you've always wanted to do, I wonder if now is the time to do it. I wonder if now is the time for you to set aside the excuses. I wonder if now is the time to just say, you know what, I'm done with all of those reasons why I can't do that thing. I think God put this thing on my heart, and I'm going to go after it. So maybe you need to go get some counseling to deal with the junk in your life. I remember years ago in 2003 when I felt a call to plant a church. I felt like my thing, Desmond's thing, was to be a medic. My thing was to plant a church. And I remember saying, okay, God, whatever you need to do to get me ready to plant a church, I'm ready to do it. And I went into the deepest, darkest depression I'd ever been in. And I think the Lord allowed it to happen, because in order for me to get to that thing God had for me to do, I had to do what I needed to do so that he could do in me and through me what he wanted to do. And so I spent months and months in therapy dealing with my junk. And I'm wondering if people in here are haunted by junk that God's like, you got to deal with that so I can get you to that thing. I wonder if some of you have fought the sobriety bug for too long. I wonder if you've just fallen back into the familiarity of your addiction. I don't know if God's saying, hey, there's more to you than that. And I wonder if the Lord wants you to do the hard, difficult work of getting sober so that you could walk into your purpose. You know, there's N-A-A-A-C-R. All these recovery groups, you know, use letters like that. There's A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. It doesn't matter which one you use. But use one, because your sobriety might be the key to the purpose God has for you. Now, if you watch the movie, you will see that Desmond, and you're going to see it in a second, begins to come alive as he begins to serve people in his purpose. Now, I want to just tell you a little history about this passage from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God gave this to Jeremiah to share with the people while they were in the midst of slavery. So get this, God's promise of a purpose came to people who were in slavery and needed somebody to lead them to freedom. So I'm telling you right now that your purpose is intimately linked with the freedom of other people. And so God might be using my voice right now and a guy named Desmond in a movie to say, wake up and get busy and move into your purpose because somebody else's freedom depends upon you finding your thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a thing to do. See, here's the deal. You were not put on planet Earth to make money or have fun. Well, let me say it this way. You were not put on planet Earth to just make money and just have fun. Those are wonderful byproducts, amen? But the key is byproducts. If that is the pursuit of your life, you've missed the purpose that God has given to you. Those things are byproducts of the purpose that God has for you, and your purpose is for the freedom of others. If you don't believe me, let me just read some Bible verses for you. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. That just doesn't seem true at times, does it? Doesn't it seem like God is slow? See, but God has bigger picture plans than you and I could ever think or imagine. Instead, he's patient. God is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants everyone to come to him in an intimate relationship. And then there's this obscure text. I want to read this one. But this obscure text, you've probably never heard of it, but it's obscure and it'll tell you about the heart of God. For God so loved, I forgot. What's that next part? Oh, yeah, yep. How'd you know? For God so loved the world. Did it say, for God so loved the people who thought like us or talked like us or acted like us or voted like us? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. You see, it's about life. This is what God is about. Of course, that's John 3:16. And then here's the mission of Jesus. Jesus came on the scene, and the first thing Jesus said publicly is, he said this, quoting Isaiah in Luke 4, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I'm telling you, I'm just giving you a picture of who Jesus is. Jesus wants people to be free. He wants them to be free. But I think he made a mistake. I think Jesus made a mistake because you know how Jesus went about these things of loving the world so that people could have eternal life and bringing about, you know, salvation because he doesn't want anybody to perish. And you know how God did these things? This is maybe He basically gathered around him a bunch of knuckleheaded losers who had all kinds of issues. And he entrusted the 12 knuckleheaded, boneheaded guys to be about the work of freedom for others. These guys could barely tie their own sandals, and now Jesus gave them the greatest mission the world has ever known. That Jesus. Now, if Jesus was in America, we would probably say, Jesus, you probably don't want those 12. That Peter, he's got anger issues. That John, he's a little timid. You know, I didn't want to get started on Judas. But Jesus trusted the mission of freedom to the 12. So what I can't do in this teaching is tell you what your thing is. I can't tell you if you're to be a medic, a teacher, a janitor. I don't know what your thing is, but I know that your thing includes the freedom of other people. Because Jesus was about giving mission and purpose to other people. He would say to them, I'm going to teach you. This is what you're about. And then he would say to them, watch me do this thing I just taught you about. And then he would say, let's do that thing I taught you about that you saw me do. Let's do it together. And then he would say, why don't you do that thing and I'm going to watch you. And then he would say, go do it by yourself and come back and tell me about it. Because Jesus was about equipping the church to be about the freedom of others. So what's your thing? What is your thing? It's about the freedom of others. Now, I like the story of Desmond because he feels different. How many of you have ever felt different? Like different is kind of odd and not like everyone else different. Well, the world needs more of you. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, there's beautiful imagery where the Apostle Paul talks about the church being like the body. Some are hands, some are feet, some are butt cheeks, some are face cheeks. We need cheeks of all kinds. And a butt cheek shouldn't say to the face cheek, I want to be you, and vice versa. You got your own place, and without one part, the body is suffering. That's a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. But all of us have a purpose, and it involves the freedom of others, and I'm wondering, if you know what your thing is. Well, you know what the world needs? The world needs the church to wake up and live for other people. I mean, really, the world needs the church to wake up and live for other people. Remember last week I got a little excited and I began saying, hey, church, this is not the game. This is not the game. This is what? What is this right now? This is halftime. What if the church quit being bobblehead dolls, right? I've said this a million times. We've got so much Christian knowledge in our heads, and we're walking around, look how smart we are, but we ain't doing nothing with it. What if the church said, this is halftime, I'm not going to be a bobblehead? What if the church said no to being a pew potato and actually got up and did something with their faith? Because the world needs the church to get up, rise up, and do something. Now, you clap, and I've been asking, is that inspiring a little bit? I feel like the inspiration goes up the more I spit when I speak. But the point isn't to be inspired. What's the point? It's to be changed. So I'm talking in language like the church needs to rise up. You know what I'm actually saying? You need to rise up. Not the person next to you. You need to rise up and do something with your faith. Now, this is a bummer. I kind of feel bad for saying this to you. You know why? Because it would be easier for you if I were to say to you, you know what? In your faith, as you grow from a seed to a root to a tree, you just need to sit and be still, raise hands once in a while in worship, clap at the appropriate times, chuckle when I'm a little funny, but leave the work to the professionals. It would be easier for you if I said that, because ministry and working with the lost, the least, the lonely, bringing about freedom to the oppressed, that's just dirty work. How many of you, while serving God, living out your purpose, doing your thing, whatever your thing is, bringing freedom to others, have just shaken your head and said, oh my goodness, I am tired of this. Anybody ever said that? Has anybody ever said that today? It's tiring. Well, Desmond knows what it is to sacrifice for the sake of others, and he gives us a beautiful picture in this next bunch of clips here. It's a montage of three or four different clips, and this is where it gets a little gruesome. But what we see when we see these next several clips that have been spliced together is we see the call of Christ to the Christian that says, are you willing to stay when others leave? And are you willing to get dirty and risk it all for the sake of someone else? Watch this. One man stayed where no one else would stay. Willing to risk it all for the sake of others, willing to get dirty and grimy, to give up comfort for the sake of others. Now, you got to have your God goggles on to get this, right? Because some of you are out there thinking, but I'm not a soldier. Put your God goggles on. And what is God saying to you in that story? Obviously, you're not all supposed to be soldiers, but where is your sphere of influence? Would you be willing to do what he did, and that is to stay when others leave, be willing to roll up your sleeves and get dirty, be willing to say goodbye to your comfort, whether you work in education, in government, and boy, if we have anybody in government, we really need you to roll up your sleeves and get dirty. And if you're an educator, listen, teachers, those who care for the property of schools, we need you to roll up your sleeves and see your job, not just as a job and a paycheck, but a place to bring freedom to people who are stuck in the junk of life. People who are working in arts and entertainment, people who are in media, people who are, you know, working in business. We need you to roll up your sleeves. The kingdom of God will advance when you roll up your sleeves and see your purpose in life is to stay and get dirty and to sacrifice some of your own comfort so that somebody else can live. Now, I wonder if there's a business person in here who says, you know, today I'm going to do things a little different. I'm going to be a little more overt in my faith. The world needs you to do this. And then maybe the most difficult job of all is stay-at-home parent. And I know stay-at-home parents sometimes like, well, I'm not doing much. Well, that's a bunch of garbage. Really, if you're a stay-at-home parent and you're thinking, man, I'm not doing my, well, you're raising godly children. You're investing in the next generation. You're making the world a better place today and tomorrow, and if you're walking with the Lord in this and for generations to come, you're having impact in ways that maybe no one else on planet Earth could if you're a stay-at-home parent. And if you're a go-to-work parent, you are too. Maybe a little differently, but parents, those of you who work in the world of family, those of you who have kids and relatives, does anybody have relatives here? Oh, so that's all of you. Maybe your family needs you to stay when others have left and to get into the muck of life and sacrifice your comfort for the freedom of others. Friends, life doesn't need you to be a soldier to bring freedom to others. It just needs you to be you with intent where you're at. So what if we, as followers of Christ, viewed our lives like he viewed his time up on Hacksaw Ridge? What if we see our time like he saw his time on Hacksaw Ridge, and we didn't just see life as something to get through, eat, drink, and be merry? What if we saw a deeper purpose, and what if we joined in what became his prayer, and we see the lost, the least, the lonely of the world around us, and we would just say, Lord, just give us one more. Just give us one more. What if we chose to live out our lives like this? Like this. one more. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. God desires none to perish, but all to be saved. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, plans to prosper, to give you hope and a future. What if we as followers of Christ saw our time on planet Earth like he saw his time up on Hacksaw Ridge, and we said, Lord, just give us one more? What if we said no to this is the game and said, yes, this is halftime? And what if we took our faith and we did something with it so that the lost, the least, and lonely could find what only Christ can bring? What's your thing? You know, you might be able to find your thing, you know, by going to the website. Maybe your thing is Guatemala. Maybe you could go down, you know, to Guatemala and work with, you know, the underprivileged youth there. Maybe your thing is in Odotel. You can go with us then. Maybe your thing is the Hope Project, working with middle school students and middle school teachers and faculty. What is your thing? Maybe your thing is hanging out with some of us at lunch after church. You know, some of our friends who happen to be homeless at this time. What is your thing? What is your thing? What is your thing? The world needs you to find your thing, to find it. So please, Lord, help us get one more.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.